Hi, this is George Batty from The Church of Christ. On July 20th, 2015, we posted the Bible Talk message for the week, What Does the Bible Say About the Strange Case of Caitlyn Jenner? One person wrote the following letter in the evening. The letter is as follows, quote, Hello, I am an atheist and regularly listen to your Bible Talk message. I drive by your church every day. Most of the time, I just laugh at your circular logic, fallacies, and the willful neglect of Scripture that opposes your personal viewpoint. However, this week you are out of control, and I must say something. You do not know what you're talking about with regard to Caitlyn Jenner. Your views are divisive and hate-filled. You show no understanding of the issues facing humans who have to deal with transgender issues. You hide behind the Bible and quote scriptures to mask your own feelings of insecurity in dealing with very real issues that face our nation and those individual humans every day. Every piece of research shows that people like Caitlyn Jenner are born identifying as a different gender. Everything about them is different from the anatomy they were born with. They don't change their mind or make a decision to be this way. This is simply how they are. You judge them, make them feel insecure, dirty, tell them they are wrong, filthy, and not worthy of your God or your heaven. You make me sick. Approximately 75% of transgender children feel unsafe at school and in society and cannot function due to bullying they face for doing nothing more than being who they are. Humans, especially children, look to their elders and leaders to see how to respond to these situations. They look to you for advice, and you scream from your pulpit that transgender people are wrong, dirty, liars, and claim you have knowledge from the Creator of the universe to support your claims. In your message, you hide behind God, claiming these are not your words, but the words of God. Stand up and say this is what you believe, not what some supposed God says. Take responsibility. How can you live with yourself? You are not the solution. You are the problem. End quote. Now that was the letter that we received, and I would like to offer the following response for the edification of those interested in this subject. I will not use the actual name of the writer who wrote this letter, and for the purposes of this review, I will call the writer Sigmund. Now, first notice the paragraph concerning willful neglect of Scripture. Sigmund writes, quote, I am an atheist and regularly listen to your Bible Talk message. I drive by your church every day. Most of the time, I just laugh at your circular logic, fallacies, and willful neglect of Scripture that opposes your personal viewpoint. End quote. Sigmund claims to be a longtime listener to the Bible Talk program, and he accuses us of three things in this paragraph: circular logic, fallacies, and willful neglect of Scripture. Baseless accusations are accusations with nothing to back them up. In other words, no proof of any kind. Now, I'm sure that as angry as Sigmund sounds, if he had some solid examples of circular logic, well, he would have offered an example of how we in the Lord's church are using circular logic. Or if we were committing fallacies, I'm sure someone as angry as Sigmund would have given an example of fallacies that we're committing and guilty of. The fact that he gives no examples in a diatribe such as this speaks for itself. Nor is there any example given of willful neglect of Scripture. To the contrary, every article that we present and post on the website is filled with Scripture. As a matter of fact, we have had 7 open Bible studies wherein the public is invited to listen and participate. In those open Bible studies, all of them are posted on our website, we're asking preachers from various denominations to point out to us wherein we're wrong in our use of Scripture and or our application of Scripture. As a matter of fact, to find preachers to participate in an open Bible study is very difficult. We usually have to call 25 to 30 different churches before we find one pastor who will agree to defend his opposing views in an open Bible study. We're not ashamed of our use of Scripture on any subject that we espouse. If, however, we are guilty of wresting or twisting Scripture, while we would appreciate anyone who would point this out to us, we're willing to change. But now we have to be shown wherein we have erred. We're not going to change just because somebody doesn't like what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so." Now, if we are to be persuaded to believe differently, then it must be shown to us from the Scriptures that we are interpreting the Scriptures incorrectly. The Scriptures are our guide. Sigmund uses no Scripture in his letter. He offers no examples of fallacies or circular logic. He is simply wrong about accusing us of neglecting Scripture. We present Scripture for everything we believe and practice. We move on to the next paragraph concerning hatred. Sigmund writes this, "However, this week you're out of control," he says, "and I must say something. You do not know what you are talking about with regard to Caitlyn Jenner. Your views are divisive and hate-filled," end quote. With all due respect, I ask, who is the one with a hate problem here? Listen to and read the notes which we posted on the Caitlyn Jenner topic and find any example of hate. It's not hateful to point out to someone when they violated Scripture. If pointing out to someone that they're wrong, if that constitutes being divisive and hate-filled, then what about Sigmund and his letter right here? Does Sigmund get a free pass? Is he allowed to be divisive and hate-filled in his views by saying that we're wrong? Now, I'm going to do something which Sigmund did not do. Sigmund accused us of using circular logic, fallacies, and willful neglect of Scripture, and he offered no proof. And then Sigmund accused us of being divisive and hate-filled in our views. And what I'm going to do is turn the tables on Sigmund, and I'm going to say Sigmund himself is divisive and hate-filled in his views. And unlike Sigmund, I'm going to offer some examples of why I'm accusing him of such. Observe the following statements in his letter. Quote, "Most of the time I just laugh at your circular logic." Again, "Most of the time I just laugh at your fallacies." Again, quote, "Most of the time I just laugh at your willful neglect of Scripture." Again, quote, "This week you're out of control," end quote. Next, quote, "You do not know what you are talking about," end quote. Quote, "You hide behind the Bible and quote Scriptures to mask your feelings of insecurity," end quote. Quote, "You make me sick," end quote. Quote, "You hide behind God," end quote. Quote, "You are the problem," end quote. Now, I would invite Sigmund to find similar language in our Bible Talk presentation about Caitlyn Jenner on any other topic. We have never written or spoken like this in any of our Bible Talk messages or articles posted on this website. Examine now the statements about research and transgender people. Sigmund writes this, quote, "Every piece of research shows that people like Caitlyn Jenner are born identifying as a different gender. Everything about them is different from the anatomy they were born with. They don't change their mind or make a decision to be this way. This is simply how they are," end quote. All right. Notice what Sigmund writes. Every piece of research. Sigmund, have you overstated your case just a little bit here? I notice that Sigmund actually presents no evidence, again, to substantiate his claims. Sigmund likes to accuse, but he doesn't like to prove anything. He likes to refer to research, but never names a single piece of research. He makes sweeping and broad claims about every piece of research. And I'm sure that if such a claim were true, he would have offered at least one example of research for our consideration. Sigmund assures us that people like Bruce Jenner were born different from the rest of us. Sigmund says Bruce Jenner is different even in his anatomy. Again, I ask the obvious question, have you not overstated your case just a little bit here, Mr. Sigmund? In what way is Bruce Jenner's anatomy different from other males? I pointed out in the Bible Talk message the following, and I'm quoting now from the Bible Talk program posted on July the 20th. Quote, "Everyone falls into one of two categories according to the Bible, male or female. Bruce Jenner was born a male. His birth certificate says he was born a male. He was born with male reproductive organs. Every chromosome in his body are male chromosomes. The only thing feminine in his entire body are the female hormones which have been injected by medical doctors." End quote. If Bruce Jenner is different in his anatomy today, I assure you it was not because he was born that way. If he's different today, it's because of surgery and or feminine hormone injections from outside of his anatomy. And furthermore, what if it is true someone is born with a propensity to behave or believe a certain way? Suppose little Billy is born with the inclination to be rough and tough and hurt other people. Suppose that's just how he was born. Do we excuse little Billy when he hurts other children? Do we just say, oh, that's just the way little Billy is. He was just born that way. Responsible parents will see little Billy's character and try to teach little Billy self-control. But you know, self-control is a dirty word to many Americans these days. Young teenagers are not supposed to practice self-control according to our schools and society. Teenagers who feel like having sex should just simply be allowed to have sex. After all, they were born as sexual beings, and we shouldn't make them feel insecure, dirty, or tell them they're wrong. You see, the problem with Sigmund is that he's bought into the American idea that people should not control their thoughts or their behavior. They should not be required to exercise self-control. But contrary to what Sigmund writes, the Bible teaches we should master our fleshly desires and control ourselves. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Now look at that last statement. There is no law against controlling one's self. And furthermore, self-control means that a person can do this themselves. They do not need a miracle from God. They don't need extra strengthening power from the Holy Spirit. It is called self-control for a reason. In Romans chapter 7, I'm reading verses 12 through 16. The Bible says, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good." Here the Apostle Paul is describing his life before he became a Christian. While he was a sinner, he was tempted by the flesh to do things which the law of God forbade. Paul didn't excuse himself and simply say, "I was just born with certain desires, and I don't care what the law of God says." Paul did not choose to become an atheist and deny the obvious fact that there is an intelligent creator before whom we must one day stand in judgment. Psalm 14 verse 1 says only a fool would deny the existence of the creator. Now question, who is making Paul feel guilty? Now Sigmund would say members of the Church of Christ are making Paul feel ashamed. But this would not be true because Paul said it was God's law making him feel guilty. Romans 7 is the story of all sinners. If a sinner has not seared his conscience, like 1 Timothy 4 verse 2 says, then the sinner will admit the law of God is holy and just and good. The sinner will have a guilty conscience and seek some way of cleansing his conscience, easing his conscience, his guilty feelings. How to cleanse the conscience is explained in the next few verses. In Romans 7, I'm reading verses 18 through 25. Quote, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." End quote. Now the devil is telling people in the world who struggle with fleshly desires, the devil saying, don't choose self-control. Don't stop sinning. Simply change your views of what is decent and what's right. Erase God out of your thinking and pretend he doesn't exist. In contrast to the devil, the Lord is teaching us to deny ourselves. Take up a cross and follow him, Matthew 16:24. The Lord is teaching self-control, Galatians 5, verse 23. The Lord himself is the only avenue of escape from guilt and shame. And that's the purpose of baptism. In 1 Peter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism, according to 1 Peter 3:21, is not for cleansing the physical body. Rather, it is to cleanse the conscience and give a person a good conscience toward God. Baptism is the occasion when God takes the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and at that moment washes away the sins of the sinner, according to Acts 2, verse 38, Acts 22, verse 16, and this passage, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. That's how the Bible teaches cleansing from a guilty conscience. Well, we need to move on now. We come to Sigmund's statements about judging. Sigmund writes, quote, "You judge people like Caitlin, make them feel insecure, dirty, tell them they are wrong, filthy, and not worthy of your God or heaven. You make me sick." End quote. Well, actually, Sigmund, we're only pointing out what God himself said in Scripture. The title of our program is Bible Talk. In other words, our program is concerned with what the Bible says about various issues. I'm not surprised when an atheist like Sigmund writes and is outraged by what the Bible says, because atheists, by their very definition, do not believe in God or in God's inspired book, the Bible. For those interested in what the Bible says, we offer Scripture. Contrary to what Sigmund said, we're not willfully neglecting scriptures. On the contrary, we're investigating carefully what the Bible says and attempting to follow its holy precepts. But Sigmund's concerned with judging. Judging is a dirty word for many Americans. We're not supposed to judge anyone about anything. You cannot legislate morals, we're constantly being told. For those that are interested, we have a Bible talk posting on that very subject. Can moral values be legislated? And I invite you to go to that posting and read our presentation. Unfortunately, though, for Sigmund, he is judging those of us who are opposed to transgender behavior. Now, what right does Sigmund have to judge others for judging? Let me say that again, just kind of to emphasize that. What right does Sigmund have to judge others for judging? In Romans chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach a man should not steal, do you steal?" And I might add here, "You who say another should not judge, do you judge?" Now listen, the Bible does talk about an unlawful kind of judging. In Matthew 7, verse 1, the Bible says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now, if somebody reads Matthew 7 and verse 1 and stops, it has the appearance of forbidding all judging of any kind. But the Lord continues to describe the kind of judging that is unlawful. I'm going to read Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. I'm not going to stop with just verse 1. I'm going to go all the way through verse 5. Quote, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." End quote. The kind of judging forbidden here by the Lord is hypocritical judging. It would be sinful for a practicing homosexual to condemn heterosexual adultery, or vice versa. It'd be wrong for a heterosexual adulterer to condemn a practicing homosexual. The Lord commanded removing the plank from your own eye first. Furthermore, the Lord didn't say, simply leave your brother and his speck alone. Don't bother him. Don't judge him concerning the speck. No, on the contrary, the Lord commanded that we remove the speck from our brother's eye after we have cleared up our own eyesight. All right? Sigmund is upset now because we don't know what we're talking about. He writes, quote, "You do not know what you are talking about with regard to Caitlyn Jenner. You show no understanding of the issues in facing humans who have to deal with transgender issues." End quote. Now, I wonder who Sigmund is and what's Sigmund's standards of right and wrong. What are they based on? Inasmuch as Sigmund claims he's an atheist, and inasmuch as atheism offers no moral standards whatsoever, what right does Sigmund have to judge others as competent or incompetent? Adolf Hitler, a Darwinian evolutionist, did not believe in God. His atheism drove him to slaughter over 6 million Jews and gypsies in the name of survival of the fittest. Joseph Stalin, a Darwinian evolutionist, did not believe in God either. His atheism drove him to slaughter over 50 million of his own Russians. Pol Pot, an atheist, slaughtered 1,700,000 Cambodians in his killing fields. The atheist has no standards whatsoever. If Sigmund claims to be an atheist, on what grounds does he possibly object to anyone having standards? Where is the atheist standards of right and wrong? However, Sigmund imagines that he has some correct understanding of what's right and wrong. He claims to know for certain the Bible's not that standard, and he objects to the standards pointed out regarding homosexuality. And since our standards are based on the Bible, then Sigmund writes, quote, "You do not know what you're talking about regarding Caitlyn Jenner. You show no understanding of the issues facing humans who have to deal with transgender issues," end quote. What if it is possible for us to know what we are talking about regarding Caitlyn Jenner? What if we do have understanding of issues facing humans who have to deal with transgender issues? What if Bruce Jenner simply chose of his own free will to stop practicing self-control, assuming that he did practice self-control at one point in his life? Is it a lack of understanding on our part to say that Mr. Jenner should return to practicing self-control? When Sigmund wrote, "You show no understanding," he probably meant you show no tolerance. In other words, for people like Sigmund, the height of understanding moral issues is to tolerate all immoral behavior under the guise of tolerance and understanding and non-judgmentalism. I wonder, though, does Sigmund understand, tolerate, and practice non-judgmentalism when Catholic priests molest little boys? After all, for all Sigmund knows, some Catholic priests were just born pedophiles and are different even in their anatomy than others. Does Sigmund understand, tolerate, and practice non-judgmentalism when a sadomasochist tortures and murders innocent victims? Where will this reasoning end? Atheism has no standards, none, to stop any moral atrocities. For those who would argue otherwise, I just remind you of Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and Pol Pot. Well, finally, Sigmund is angry because we hide behind God. He writes, quote, "In your message, you hide behind God, claiming these are not your words, but the words of God. Stand up and say this is what you believe, not what some supposed God says. Take responsibility. How can you live with yourself?" End quote. Well, now to this charge, we plead guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. We do hide behind what God says. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life," listen, "your life is hidden with Christ in God," end quote. So yes, we are guilty of hiding behind what God said. However, just in case Sigmund missed exactly what was recorded on the Bible Talk program, here is what I said at the very end of the message. Quote, "Again, this is not a message to slander anyone. This is merely an investigation into a question: what does the Bible say about the strange case of Caitlyn Jenner? If you did not want to know what the Bible says about this, you should not have called. If you did want to know what the Bible says, then we have discovered what the Bible says. The Bible says such cases are sinful and shameful. This is not George Batty saying this. This is what the Bible says. As for me personally, I believe the Bible is the true and authoritative voice of God Himself," end quote. Members of the Church of Christ believe what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches transgenderism is sinful, and it must be repented of like all other sins. On the other hand, There is a passage in the Bible which describes Sigmund and his philosophy of life. Judges chapter 21, verse 25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." End quote. When atheists choose for themselves what is right and wrong, they should not condemn others who choose for themselves to follow after the holy God of the Bible. It is hypocritical to condemn in others what one allows for himself. Thanks for listening to this reply.